like, I'm not, I can't yet. But like I got potential for it, but I'm not there yet 100%.
The ancestors never left you.
Head down.
Nothing is complete on its own.
You are the king.
Who's ready to talk about Beyoncé? I'm ready to talk about her. She's been quiet. She's been relatively quiet, and now she is completing the full cycle. Yes. The magic cycle, the ritual that she has set in motion years ago. If you recall, we talked about her appearance at the Super Bowl halftime show and the Black Panthers that came out with her. Yes. Now, some of you may think, well, Isaac, this is just a race situation going on here. There's nothing occultish about it. There's nothing illuminate confirm here. Well, I'm here to tell you, my friends, it's a bit of both. And today we are taking the deepest of dives. The deepest of dives into Beyoncé and this new propaganda she's working with Disney on, called Black is King. She is your new COVID Disney goddess. Yes. We're going to go through this trailer she dropped. I haven't even seen the whole video yet, right? I think it drops July 30th on Disney Plus. And she dropped the trailer, and on the trailer I saw many images. I already know what's going to happen. It's like I'm predicting the future, man. This is like what we talked about for so many years. I wrote a whole book on Beyoncé. It's just a trashy little ebook. You can get it on Amazon or Gumroad. And we go through the whole history of Beyoncé, and she does not fail. We're going to talk about her goddess channeling. We're going to talk about the secret project that is her Disney Plus Black is King effort. We're going to talk about her stupid finger tattoo. We're going to talk about the magic circle. Theurgy. Iamblichus? Oh, all these big, stupid names. You're going to love it. We're going to dive so deep. I'm giving you a college-level discourse on why Beyoncé is Illuminate confirmed. We're going to talk about Isis Unveiled, Blavatsky. We're going to talk about Fallen Angels, Lucifer, Moloch, the Star Child, Aleister Crowley's Star Child. Yes, indeed. Marjorie Cameron, all the things you wanted to hear about, it's all going down today. And guess what? This is a Patreon bonus, because this is only for the big supporters, the ones that really want to know. And if you're not on the Patreon team, then you don't want to know that bad. So this is for the Patreon folks. Thank you for all your support. And as you know, I added a tier 3. Priced way too high. I see that. I'm aware of that. But that's, and again, it's the same principle. It's like, I don't expect a lot of people to do it, but it's if you really want to spend some personal time. I do a little live stream once a month. And the reason I'm talking about it right now is because I want you to know that when you sign up for Patreon or you change tiers, I'd advise to do it the first week of the month, because I changed a setting on Patreon, not really understanding its implications. And if you you upgrade your tier, or you sign up for the first time, perhaps on, let's say, you know, June 20th. Well, guess what? On July 1st, Patreon's going to charge you again. Now, obviously, like, not a huge deal if you're on the tier 1, but if you're signed up for the tier 3. That'd be pretty tragic, right? So I'd advise on the first of the month, sign up, Do your changes then. Now, let's get into Beyonce. First, let's talk about, let's do a very brief catch up. And this is not, this does not capture everything in the history of Beyonce by any means. I talked about her long ago in my hip hop book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. Talked about her channeling spirits, channeling the goddess energies. At the time, it was Sasha Fierce. Then she said she killed Sasha Fierce and integrated her into herself. And I was telling you back then, there's some occult language being revealed there. Well, then she performed at the Grammys, I believe it was, as an African goddess, Oshun. And I wasn't shocked. I mean, that's what all these artists do. They channel different goddesses, different archetypes, whatever you want to call it. And I've got my little book. I've got a book called Symbols of the Goddess by Claire Gibson. I think I read to you from this a couple weeks ago. And we read about Oshun, one of two water goddesses. Let me find you the proper country here. The Yoruba people of Nigeria celebrate two water goddesses, Oya and Oshun. Oya is the personification of the river Niger and is symbolized as a rainbow serpent or a rainbow, blah, 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 you don't care, for she can cause rainstorms and restore meteorological order. Oshun, on the other hand, is the less energetic goddess of fresh water who is especially associated with her eponymous river. Wow, these are big, tough words here today. You're going to hear me stumble a lot. And is therefore considered a goddess of healing as well as fertility. Okay. Now, and there's a little bit more here on the next page. This is one where it gets interesting. As a result of the forcible transportation of African people across the Atlantic as slaves, many African deities enjoyed a devoted following in the Americas in the form of the Loas, the gods of voodoo. Reflecting the different cultures and faiths to which the erstwhile slaves were exposed, voodoo is today a richly syncretic blend of sacred beliefs in which those of West Africa are prominent. To give examples, the Ghanaian spider goddess Anansi became the rather more prosaically named Aunt Nancy, and we also encounter the Nigerian water goddesses Oya and Oshun in the West Indies. So, what they're saying there is Oshun, this African goddess, came over in the voodoo tradition. Now, you'll recall, Beyonce not only performed with the garb of Oshun, but she also showed you this emulation of the deity in her Lemonade videos. I did a whole spiel on that. I was going to say it's on the YouTube. It's on the Vimeo channel that I've got for the Lemonade analysis. And the in the videos, you'll see there's a focus of the water, and she's wearing the yellow, which is the sort of Oshun goddess color there. So the point being, she's done this before, this whole idea of like emulating a goddess. She's done it before. She's a prop for, you know, all the things, the Illuminati things, her and Jay-Z. And when she revealed this new trailer, it became clear that they are bumping it up a notch. First, let's talk about the name of the project. It is called Black as King. And one would think, well, she's just referring to the black people, right? Wrong. And I'm just joking a little bit. I'm sure she is on some levels, but she's referring to the Black Brotherhood, the Dark Arts. Aleister Crowley called the Black Brotherhood the one that practiced black magic, okay? And I know that's a bit controversial, and I'm not trying to dismiss, genuine progress being made, trying to remove traditional, oppression in the black community, but that's not what this is. At best, it's conflating two competing topics, at best. Clearly, this is Disney teaming up with Beyonce to push a magical concept of channeling the goddess.
She's a witch. She's an Illuminati witch.
Now, Destin reached out to me and asked about this finger tattoo on Beyonce. She used to have an IV on her finger, which stood for four. They're really big into this numerology of the four, her and Jay-Z. Her birthday is September 4th. His is December 4th. They were married on April 4th, which is 4-4. They both have albums named after it. She's got four and he's got 444. But she got this tattoo reworked, and now it looks like some kind of sigil. It's a sigil with like a J and a four. It's hard to really read it, but that is the point of a sigil. You basically take like a word, you remove the vowels, and you rearrange the letters to make it indistinguishable to the reader. So that only the magician knows the point of the sigil, the reminder of it. So what does it mean? I couldn't tell you. She would have to tell you that, because that's the point of a sigil. So she seems to be pushing that a bit further. Unless I'm wrong, maybe it's something else. Sure looks like a sigil to me. Now, as you saw on my Instagram posts, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. Let's get those follower counts up so I can thought it out. As you saw in my Instagram post, I did two different posts for this, by the way. One has like, I don't know, 8 images on it. Then another one's sort of a compilation where we talked, well, we'll get to that in a bit. Now, referencing the post where I had multiple images, you could see the one of the magic circle. That's the one where the four people laying on the ground in the circle, right? Now, what is the purpose here? What does that mean? Well, the circle is a tool for a magician to protect themselves when contacting other entities, because that's what they do. They draw the triangle to manifest the entities in, but the magician stands in the circle to protect themselves. Now, historically, this comes from Sumer in ancient Mesopotamia, where all of the things we research come from, the cradle of civilization. There they had the Zisuru, a circle drawn of flour, meant to keep evil spirits from the magician that was evoking them. And this is important in the whole concept of what we're talking about today, this Mesopotamian, Sumerian, Babylonian stuff. It's the old religion that they want to make the new religion, okay? So we see this circle drawn in Beyonce's little video here with the four cardinal directions. This is a pagan technique embodying the air, fire, water, and earth, the four elements. They do this and it forms what they call a cone of power, where you have the formed circle and you're channeling the energy upward like a triangle, right? And this is what the witch's hat embodies. It's a circle with a triangle. And the purpose is to raise energy into a ritual space. This is very similar to the ideas of sex magic, right? It's the idea that during the orgasm, the practitioner can take the energy and put it into a ritual space. And they believe it has a very powerful energy. So that's why they do it. Now, before we go further, I need to give you some background. And this is, we're going to talk about iamblichus. Sounds boring, right? Well, it's not. It's not. You go back to 330, Common Era, Anno Domini, Iamblichus of Chalcis. He was a guy revered in the occult. And right around this time, he was uniting the fight of the pagan world against the rising popularity of Christianity, excuse me. And at this point in time, the philosophy and the paganism, they were opposed, but he found a common ground to unite these two things. He was basically fusing Platonism with occultism. And he was sort of a forefather of Neoplatonism. Basically just taking Platonism and moving it a little deeper into the occult. Now, this magical practice of the ancient world was similar to the Platonic terms. So the intellectuals, they subscribed to all this and they called it the divine work, the magic theurgy. What does all that mean? Well, you have to recall, there's three main types of occultism. They all have similar kind of beliefs and they all draw from similar sources. You've got Neoplatonism, again, ancient Greek offshoot of Platonism. You've got Hermeticism. This is the Greek philosophy mixed with a little bit of the Egyptian mystery school teachings. Of course, started in Egypt, which will be important in our story. Then you've got the Kabbalah. This is the most recent. The Jewish communities of South France is where this came from. So you all got these sort of similar things, different flavors. Now, theurgy is, of course, part of the magical practice of the occult, if you didn't know that. If you read Eugene Afanasian and John Dylan's Iamblichus and the Foundations of Late Platonism, it's a real riot. we can verify. I'll read you a little bit. I won't read too much to you. Despite Iamblichus' defense of theurgic prayer and religious invocation as enabling assimilation with the divine, critics, both ancient and modern, have claimed that theurgy shares the same underlying mentality as ancient magical practices and should therefore be classified together with them, since both are considered to constitute attempts to influence and compel the gods. So that's saying theurgy is a sort of a magic practice to try to manipulate the gods. And a little bit later it says, the distinction commonly made between magic and theurgy is, in fact, in my view, basically an unreal one. The real distinction is between magic, theurgy, and its remote descendant, the modern scientific worldview and religion. Behind the latter is the impulse to abase oneself before some force alien to oneself that is infinitely powerful and mysterious. Behind the former is the impulse to come to terms with that force and the physical world it has created, to ferret out what makes it tick and to manipulate it for one's own ends. Deep down, he, i.e. the theurgist, knows this great truth. And here's where you gotta listen. Pay attention. That if he presses the right buttons, they will come. Yes. If the practitioner presses the right buttons, the gods will come. So you've got this, you know, this very smart, you know, these were like the leading great minds of their time, talking about magic, talking about theurgy, talking about making contact with the divine, making contact with God himself. Gods or goddesses, entities, whatever you want to believe. They thought that these practices, which were shared and commonplace throughout the Middle East and Greece and Rome and Mesopotamia and Egypt, where they initiated Plato underneath the pyramids of Giza and Aleister Crowley channeled all the spirits of the Alamantra workings and talked to the spirit Awaz, the demon that told him how to write the book of the law. All this stuff happened over there. And you wonder why we're at war with the Middle East all the time. Well, there's something valuable in that cradle of civilization, I'd argue. Now, Helena Blavatsky, you know her. You love her. she wrote a book called Isis Unveiled. And this book, not a fun read either, I'll tell you that much. It's broken up into two major parts. You got the science and you got the religion. Very appropriate, right? Now, there's a preface for terms, a bit of a glossary, if you will, called Before the Veil. Let's look at the term theurgist. And the reason I keep harping on this is because I want to convey that these aren't just trendy people trying to be controversial. I would argue that this underground esoteric knowledge has transferred hands over time, remaining underground, and in the hands of people that practice this to this day. And this is what Beyonce is doing. She is you know, I'm going to prove to you she's using a form of magic and portraying herself as a god or a false god. You can see Beyonce reading from a book called Black Gods and Kings, showing you she literally is pursuing apotheosis, deification, a godlike status. Should you doubt that? You see her and Jay-Z standing and looking at a painting of Beyonce as the Virgin Mary. Blasphemous. Pure blasphemy from Disney. She supposedly posed as the Virgin Mary back in 2017 on Instagram, announcing the birth of their twins. So it's no surprise. And before that, she had that controversial photo where she was implying that she was the Christ figure at the Last Supper at the painting, I believe it was in Cuba. She's attempting unification with God through magic ritual, just like Jay-Z uses the rock diamond as the triangle of manifestation to manifest energy. Yes, it's all coming together. She's channeling a spirit to work through her to ascend into a higher level of enlightenment, just like she did with Sasha Fierce, but that didn't get the job done. And then she did it with the African goddess Oshun. Now, in this glossary, I'll try to be brief again. Theurgist means from God or work. The first school of practical theurgy in the Christian period was founded by Iamblichus among the Alexandrian Platonists, but the priests attached to the temples of Egypt, Assyria, and Babylonia, and who took an active part in the evocations of the gods during the sacred mysteries, were known by this name from the earliest archaic period. The purpose of it was to make spirits visible to the eyes of mortals. Make spirits visible to the eyes of mortals. Okay? What does that sound like? It sounds like Project Bluebeam, because in Project Bluebeam, they're going to present the image of God to all the people around the world through holograms, through fake holograms, through, maybe Elon Musk's satellite system, Starlink. I don't know. We'll see. It's a very noisy day out here. Very noisy, very rude neighbors. Now, where were we? A theurgist was one expert in the esoteric learning of the sanctuaries of all the great countries. The Neoplatonists of the school of Iamblichus were called theurgists, for they performed the so-called ceremonial magic and evoked the spirits of the departed heroes, gods, and divine spiritual entities. In the rare cases when the presence of a tangible invisible spirit was required, the theurgist had to furnish the weird apparition with a portion of his own flesh and blood. He had to perform, I can't read the word, or the creation of gods by a mysterious process well known to the modern fakirs and initiated Brahmins of India. This is what is said in the book of the evocations of the pagodas. It shows the perfect identity of rites and ceremonial between the oldest Brahmic theurgy and that of the Alexandrian Platonists. After having prepared a lamp, some sandal, incense, etc., and having traced a magic circle taught to him by the superior guru, in order to keep the bad spirits away, he ceases to breathe and calls the fire to his help to dispense his body. He pronounces a certain number of times the sacred word, and his soul escapes from his body, and his body disappears, and the soul of the evoked spirit descends into the double body and animates it. They're saying, Helena Blavatsky is telling you that through this practice, one can channel an ancient god or goddess into their own body. Don't you think that's what's happening? Don't you think that's what Beyonce said in those interviews when she said she feels someone come into her, Sasha Fierce? Don't you think that's what's happening? I do. I believe it. I think that you get so much fame and so much fortune that you lose your marbles just a little bit. Now, what are we seeing here? What I'm trying to say is when she has the magic circle and she's laying around it, and even throughout this whole video, you see this connection of Beyonce channeling these African goddesses through theurgy. She's taking on the role of her African ancestors because, of course, Egypt is where the initiates were revealed the sacred mysteries. Iamblichus wrote about Pythagoras getting initiated while he was in Egypt as well. And, you know, Pythagoras was the, he was OG secret society man. He's the first one to put one together. Traveling the world, collecting the esoteric doctrine, and handing it down to those that deserved it. And then Blavatsky came along a couple thousand years later and decided like, oh, hey, me and Crowley, we're going to reveal the truth to the masses. It's the revelation of the method. Everyone has to see this. No longer should it be kept secret. Because Crowley was told through the demons that this is the new age, the age of magic. And everyone needs to get on board with this thing. Now, on the video, you also see many examples of falling stars, people sort of worshiping and looking up to the skies at these fallen stars. This is, of course, the fallen angel, right? This is part of the UFO secret society stuff. That what they truly worship is Lucifer. They're Luciferians. It's the new religion. And luckily, I just so happened to be writing a portion of a chapter discussing this right when this happened. Synchronicity, some would say. Now, how do I want to present this to you? Do I want to read to you from my book, my secret book that I'll never finish? I'm trying to make this a short book, honestly. I'm trying to make it like less than 200 pages. Much like movies, I think they should be 90 minutes. I feel like books should be kept at 200 pages. Because my experience, most books, not all of them, but most books that are over 200 pages, at least 100 of them are a waste of my time. Thoughts? What do you think about that? I'm about efficiency, folks. Now, let's see. I'm just going to read you from it. I'll paraphrase. To understand, well, this is fun. This is a little sneak preview of the book. Let's make it fun. What am I doing holding out on you? You're my Patreon people. This is a Patreon-only show. And all those losers, they're not going to get to hear this. To understand the spiritual element of this alien agenda, we have to go back to the beginning of where it all started. We glossed over this idea earlier, but the occult philosophy needs examined to understand why this is considered spiritual warfare. Much like the prophecies of the Bible that predicted the coming of God as Jesus Christ, there has been a drawn-out effort to manifest the Antichrist. Lucifer is considered the fallen angel. Too proud to sing the praises of God, he was sent to the material plane of existence. Satan is depicted falling from heaven in the book of Luke along with his angels. Are these beings the same entity? Then we go through a little bit on exploring is Lucifer Satan. I didn't prepare for this, okay? Well, there's a lot on comparing. Okay, here we go. The comparison here is that The king of Babylon believes he has the power to approach the status of a god. His pride was much like Lucifer's, which was the same problem with the Tower of Babel in that man tried to become like a god. This is also the same message given to us from the book of Genesis when the serpent tempts Eve to eat the forbidden fruit in Genesis chapter 3. I'll read to you from the book, from the good book, from the Bible. The Orthodox Study Bible here. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, but from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not die by death, for God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil." Now, of course, he's referencing the pineal gland, the third eye, opening up. And apotheosis of man becoming God, something he is forbidden to do. Now, the Orthodox Study Bible tells us the serpent is in fact Satan, promises deification to Eve through disobedience to God, just like the Tower of Babel and just like the King of Babylon. Now, the sons of God and fallen angels of the Book of Enoch are examples of the idea that some spirits were too evil to be in God's presence. Satan assembled an army of fallen angels or demons to fight a war against God for the souls of humanity. The Watchers from the Book of Genesis procreated with the women of Earth to create a demonic offspring of giants. This is so fresh, I haven't even proofread it. Offspring of giants called the Nephilim. God destroyed most of the life on Earth with the Great Deluge, but some believe the bloodline of the fallen angels still exist. One of the Watchers was a fallen angel named Azazel, who taught man the forbidden arts. The Kabbalists refer to two rebel angels, Azah and Azael, that fell from the heavens and initiated men into the magical arts and sciences. Then we go through a little bit on Tubal Cain, very similar idea. But the big picture here, we have to understand that there were wicked angels that came to Earth. Not only were they trying to make sexy time with the women, but they wanted to teach man the forbidden knowledge that would lead to self-deification, which is very clearly forbidden. It's the forbidden knowledge. But these people are obsessed with it. So Beyonce, basically, she's channeling spirits, she's channeling gods and goddesses in the magic circle. Then they show the fallen angels through the meteorite, whatever you want to call it. And this is all in a minute of a Disney trailer. I haven't even seen the whole thing yet, obviously. And then we also see the Moloch, the horns on, some scary guys got these scary motorcycles and they got the horns, but she's also wearing it. She's on top of a horse wearing the horns. Again, a reference to the goddess, the Isis, which is again Egyptian, because Isis or Aset is the translation of Queen of the Throne. And you know, Beyonce is always called the Queen Bee, Queen Bey, whatever you want to call her. The headdress of Isis is the horns of Moloch, which some interpret as the brow chakra. When the Kundalini opens up the brow chakra, the pineal gland. And she's also... the headdress is the horns of Moloch with the sun in the center of them. And she is described in the Book of the Dead as the one who gives birth to heaven and earth, but she's also the mother to who? She's the mother to Horus, as in Aleister Crowley's Aeon of Horus, because he said it was time to usher in the New Age, right? Which leads us into the Star Child, which you saw in the trailer. Remember? Just like you saw in 2001 A Space Odyssey, you see the Star Child in Beyonce's little Black as King video, floating outside the Earth. Now, man, this is going to be a very complex show here. Wise Guy sent me some info on Donald Trump being the moon child, which the implication here was that Trump was the moon child, but the dates don't quite line up. But that'd be fun, right? That'd be fun and interesting. But they refer to the birth date of Donald Trump, which is June 14th, 1946. And when you look into this, on that day, Crowley sent a letter to Grady McMurdy talking crap on Jack Parsons, who he called Freighter 210. And talking about how Parsons is working with this con man, that's L. Ron Hubbard, to create a moon child. And we spoke about this, if you listen to the Marjorie Cameron deep dive, the Wormwood Star, and Crowley had said, quote, apparently Parsons or Hubbard or somebody is producing a moon child. I get fairly frantic when I contemplate the idiocy of the louts. And we talked about the Babylon working. That was the ritual that Parsons and Hubbard were doing out in the deserts. And this is why Trump can't be the moon child, because if he was born in 1946, you know, the idea was that they were going to incarnate the Scarlet Woman, which Jack Parsons could procreate with to make the child. So the timing wouldn't line up for that. Interesting idea, though. Very fun. But the purposes of the Babylon working, there was a couple ideas as to what it was. One idea is that it's purely symbolic. It was just a metaphysical exploration, foretelling of the changing times and waking up the libido of the masses. And they were just charging up the energy to do that. Another concept, and this is the Agape Lodge that Jack Parsons was running for Aleister Crowley, the Thelema Lodge. The Inner Circle thought it meant to result in an actual physical birthing, and that Jack was trying to create the Moonchild, which was a magical offspring between Jack Parsons and Marjorie Cameron, which was infused with Babylon's spirit from the astral plane. And it wasn't very clear as to which one Jack subscribed to. He talked as if it was physical child, but he was adamant with all his wives that there would be no children in their marriages. So, I mean, who's to know, right? But he described Babylon's coming as a spiritual Armageddon that would destroy the monotheistic gods. That was the intent here. And he thought that the workings they did out in the desert were successful and that Babylon was nesting somewhere on Earth in a human host. And these Enochian rituals were used because, John Dee and Edward Kelly, who came up with the Enochian angelic language, that was what Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard were emulating out there in the desert using Crowley's rituals. Anyhow, the Enochian rituals were used to impress the Babylon goddess, and Jack believed that the rituals had danger in them, and he had suffered many astral attacks from doing them. He saw Crowley's death as one such example, and became worried he'd be killed, so he passed the responsibilities of the Babylon over to Marjorie Cameron, showing her the rituals, and said that the Babylon was the great work that linked them together. And curiously enough, he said that on the day of Babylon's manifestation, he would be blown away, which was quite a curious statement, since he died from an explosion. Now, we got off track there. The Star Child, right? That's what you see on this image of Beyonce's little video there. You see the child floating from the cosmos, levitating almost. So if you put all these things together, which we will, and clearly when we see the full video at the end of July, it'll make more sense, and I'll watch it and let you know. But what we're seeing here, let's recapture from the top. She's in this magic circle. She's channeling goddess energies, just like she's done in the past. We see in the video there's going to be some kind of fallen angel, some kind of cosmos, entity coming to Earth. And then we also see the birthing of the Moon Child, the Star Child. This represents the evolution of man into the next phase. Now, what kind of evolution are they pursuing? Is this going to be an occult manifestation? Is it the pursuit to destroy the monotheistic gods as so many of these occultists wanted to have? All the way back to Iamblichus, who defined theurgy, the concept of using magic to make contact with the gods and the goddesses. The bigger question, is God going to come smite us for doing all this stuff? That seems to be the trend. So let's wait and see. Let's check out this Disney Plus movie when it drops at the end of July. And I do want to thank you for your support on Patreon. You're my Patreon supporters, and you're my ride or dies, because, as you know, the social media is always suspect, the website is suspect, YouTube shut me down, all the truthers are getting shut down left and right, and I fear that the vaccine stuff is going to be a real big problem real soon. You can see all the foundations for that getting out into the mass media, where Fauci's talking about this COVID vaccine, and, well, I don't think it's really going to work because people are scared to take it. We've got some work to do. Well, if you read that HR Bill 666, or whatever it was, they said they can mandate it. So, It's curious times, but I do want to thank you for being on the Patreon team. You are truly what's keeping this thing going. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your support. And until next time, my friends, stay woke.